Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Chris White. A former mathematician, Chris White is now the Chief Technology Officer at Prefect. With a passion for building data tooling that ushers in the next generation of workflow management systems. Prior to joining Prefect, as the first employee in 2018, he was a data scientist manager at Capital One. Chris began his journey into data tooling while getting his PhD in mathematics at the University of Texas at Austin, where he researched optimization guarantees for highly non-convex data-driven problems. Throughout his career, Chris has gained experience in diverse number of roles, from teacher, researcher, data scientist, software engineer, sales engineer, and security officer, to name a few. In his spare time, he is an avid runner and loves spending time in the ocean. Well, good afternoon, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
You bet. This is exciting. You know, we've been prepping for your podcast for a little while here, and I'm just so excited. I get to talk to another chief technology officer like myself. I've served in the chief, the CTO and the CIO role in my career, and I like to talk a little bit about tech. So I'm glad you're on the show tonight, and we're so excited to have you. So Chris, we're going to jump right into these questions. Let's talk about your career. So you got quite the career in technology, you know, you're as an analyst, a data scientist, and now you're the chief technology officer at Prefect. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, starting with the inspiration, which is really the kind of undercurrent of the whole story here, it's really about learning new things at the end of the day for me. So I come from a math background. I have a PhD in math. Even getting a PhD was just driven by my desire to understand math, you know, that much better. And some of the things, you know, the problems that I was looking at, whether it was physics or economics, and just, you know, seeing all the math come up, I wanted to just understand it better. Went and got a PhD. Absolutely loved that. Then started getting curious about how a lot of this, the research that I had been doing in optimization was actually applied in practice and, you know, what were the practical consequences. And so next step was doing a little consulting and, you know, actually getting my hands dirty with some real data sets and applying, you know, various algorithms to it to derive insights. And, you know, no surprise, had to do a lot of programming to make that happen. So next thing you know, I'm looking under the covers of all the different programming languages that we are using, starting to build, you know, tools for my team to iterate on their model development faster and in a more principled way. And then from there, just went deeper into the stack, started working on a platform. So this was actually during my time at Capital One. And this platform bridged data science models that were being built by the data science teams and gave business analysts a first-class interface to those models so that they could manipulate the outputs and get, you know, as up-to-date model builds as possible. And so kind of taking it, you know, even further, next step, I met Jeremiah, who is the CEO and founder of Prefect, where I am now. And, you know, he had this really great pitch to me about a vision for a product that he was starting to poke at. And I definitely bought into his vision and saw just this amazing opportunity to take a bet on myself and then learn everything under the sun about how a tech company is built from the ground up. And so I joined Prefect as the first employee, and, you know, I've worn a ton of different hats, and all of those different hats, once again, driven by my desire to just see what does this look like in practice? How does this work? You know, what kind of insights can I take back to my coding practice and my software development practice? So I was effectively our sales engineer at Prefect. I'm also our chief information security officer. And kind of one of the ways that I even define my role to people is that there is no static definition of my role. It's just whatever we need to be, you know, doing in the technology space at the company at any given time, I want to be present for and, you know, helping out with. So yeah, learning and taking bets on myself is really the driving force for me on, you know, any given day.
That's awesome. And, you know, it is interesting. Well, your background, first of all, you know, you coming out of math, and I've seen a lot of that over my career, but the fact that you jump into a startup like this, and I know exactly how that is of being part of a startup, is you wear many hats. Sometimes you're the chief sales officer in some cases, right? But, yep. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing. And so we're going to jump into the pandemic a little bit, Chris. We starting to lift in some places, I guess, but what are your plans for your business growth going forward And will it be any different than during the lockdown months?
So that's actually a great question. We've had a very interesting pandemic story. So there's a few different elements here. So first and foremost, when I joined Prefect, I was in Washington, D.C., but very quickly, within the first month of joining, I moved out to California. My partner was getting her master's at Berkeley, and so we came out here. And so the reason I say that is from day one, Prefect was a fully remote company. And so we always had that kind of baked into our DNA. We do have a strong presence in DC, but you know, I've always been in California, and we now have employees across the country. And actually, interestingly, whenever COVID hit, you know, of course it was like a highly stressful event on a lot of different levels, you know, from personal to the business. But we actually raised both our Series A and Series B during COVID. And we have seen just absolutely massive, you know, user and customer growth during that time. So I'm not going to try to explain that. I don't have all of the reasons for why that might have happened. It could have just been pure coincidence. But there is one thing that we did do. You know, whenever the signs were arising that, you know, lockdown was going to happen and things were going to be different, we, you know, had to take a good hard look at our business strategy. And if the world's changing, something about our strategy must also change to reflect that, right? And so one of the things that we did is within a very fast 2-week span, we went through our platform, which was largely a proprietary code base at the time, and, you know, came up with a set of features that we thought would be relatively easy to release as an open source product. And so we did that very, very quickly, got it out in the world. We just wanted people to be using our tool, even if they, you know, potentially have budgets were frozen or something and they couldn't pay us for it. That's not a big deal. We always think of what we do as delivering value, not extracting it. And so if, you know, you deliver enough value, then good things will happen for your business. And so that was a really, really important decision that we made right at the peak of the pandemic. And I do think that that was at least one of the factors that drove a lot of our user growth. But so looking forward, I mean, we fully plan to stay fully remote. We might open one or two offices in a hub. But otherwise, we're just looking forward to all getting back together again whenever it's safe, honestly. But I think in terms of the business, we've really streamlined what our remote culture looks like. And we're really proud of it, honestly.
That's awesome. And there's a lot of, we've had a lot of success stories like that on this show about the pandemic and what really happened with the business. In some cases, it was a lot of perspiration more than it was inspiration. And sometimes it was a little bit of luck, but I appreciate that you guys have done well during this time. So thank you. And Chris, you're obviously leveraging some new and emerging technologies within your tech stack, right? Is there anything you might be able to share with us today?
Sure. Yeah. So we actually have some really interesting product developments that we'll be announcing in the very, very near future. And one of the things that we're really trying to do is kind of revisit our mission to eliminate negative engineering, just remove a lot of the defensive code and observability code, monitoring code that people tend to have to wire up into their data pipelines. And, you know, over the years, we've identified some places that maybe we weren't delivering on that mission as good as we could. And so we kind of took a long look at our product lineup and how we might integrate better with some of the newer tech that's actually coming out. And so some of the standards, you know, that are emerging in the API space, especially. And so, some of the things that we'll be releasing soon are going to be a new way of building and deploying your Prefect workflows on slightly new tech than what is currently available on our platform. So some of the tools that are coming to my mind right now. So Fast API is this really awesome performant async first Python web framework that we are going to be using in the very near future. And also Pydantic, which plays very well with Fast API. And both of these are built on the Open API standard, which is really, really awesome because, you know, whenever you build something on top of a standard, it really allows you to use and leverage a lot of tooling in that space that was built on top of that standard. So just automatic documentation is an example for your API. Really powerful thing. You don't have to always, you know, remember to update your docs because it just kind of happens automatically for you.
That's amazing. And yeah, we're certainly looking forward to some of your product releases. So we will be really listening in and learning more about this release. And we'd love to share that on this show as well. Okay, Chris, last question. We want to talk a little bit about you and maybe how we can virtually mentor our audience, right? People that want to grow. So can you share something from your career experience that might be helpful for those looking to grow their career in either tech or leadership?
Yes, absolutely. So I have a few different things along this dimension. And honestly, in my opinion, they apply equally to leadership and to being a better tech professional. So first and foremost, something that we've baked in on day one as a part of how Jeremiah interact is learn how to have productive disagreements. You're going to be wrong sometimes, and people are not always going to agree with you, even when you are right. And figuring out how to navigate that and reach a productive outcome with someone who may disagree is an incredibly valuable skill. And the more that you can really use disagreements as a way to uncover some new piece of information to learn or take advantage of, it makes it very easy to revisit decisions in the future, right? Because there's not a lot of emotional baggage with it. It wasn't an argument. It was just an intellectual disagreement. So that is top of mind, something that we really value at our company. Another thing, and this applies in both directions. It actually came from a design principle that I really like, but it's optimized for change. Nothing is static, especially in tech, whether it's your code base or your role or the needs of the company. And so just not optimizing for a static state of the world and always building in flexibility into whatever it is that you're doing is just incredibly important so that you can switch gears or introduce a new tool into your stack, whatever the case may be, efficiently and quickly. And I guess, the last thing, no surprise here, is just always try to learn new things, but especially when they're outside of your normal role. So, example that I mentioned earlier, joining those sales calls. I did do that partially for practical reasons, but I also wanted to see what is, the sales cycle for a dev tool really look like firsthand. Was joined a ton of calls, collected a lot of information. Now I have a lot of, thoughts and opinions about how that looks. And, the reason that I emphasize the outside of your role piece though, is something that I really, take to heart is that learning as just, an end in and of itself is powerful precisely because you can't predict what new ideas or insights you'll have on the other side. And so it's just really important to constantly push yourself to learn new things because you truly don't know, what it's going to look like on the other side of that learning. And I think that's both intrinsically motivating, but also, that's how you grow and how you grow your ideas.
Thanks, Chris, for sharing. I think you're spot on with that. And again, those gems are what build our next leaders, our next generation of leaders in either tech or leadership. So I appreciate you sharing that. And Chris, it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
For sure. Thanks again, Brian. This is great.
Bye for now.